It's time for the Two Old Men, a morning show, and sometimes a dog podcast. And now, here's our hosts, Jeff, John, and Charlie.
Paired to a certain extent, windows are boarded up. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people who come to our community, especially if they go to the downtown post office and federal courthouse building to have their picture taken, oftentimes will drive right by that building. And so it's been kind of an eyesore for the past several years. And so
I'm sorry, I got a little late start on getting the podcast started. We're talking about the Grimm Hotel. Yeah. Hotel Grimm.
We've had all of the closings done as far as the paperwork and the bonding and all that. That's a very intensive process. And this is a project that we've been working on now for 10 years.
Wow.
And it just takes a long time. We've had some setbacks along the way, and then things would gain momentum, and then we have a setback, and then more momentum. So we're very excited about this project. Currently, you may have noticed that there's been some fencing put around the building, some workers' activity there. And so they're doing some environmental work right now as far as some abatement of asbestos and other things like that. I think they're in the process of getting a new main water line to the building. TWU's been working on that. So it's going to take a year and a half, you know, to get everything done. But we'll have approximately 98 units, 1 and 2 bedroom units.
That'd be great.
And that's kind of a niche. What we're finding in our downtown redevelopment with other projects relating to housing or residency is the 2 bedroom is very popular, and in some instances a 1 bedroom unit. So that'll be taken care of, and the first and or second floors will primarily be devoted to general retail or commercial development. So there may be some shops that may want to go in, or businesses or specialty type things that may want to go in.
I remember when there was a barber shop in there.
Yeah,
long time.
Yeah. Johnny Pecorella had a barber shop there in the basement.
That's right.
And for many years. It's a beautiful building. It's got somewhat some similar interior architecture that we find like in the train station, in the Perot Theater, in the Regional Arts Center building, that same type of architecture. It's going to take a little while to get it done, but it's going to be very
great,
very nice
once
it's done.
It's a very historical building. Mr. Graham, big railroad magnate back in the day when he built that, and it was going to be the finest in the South.
Right.
And at the time it was.
Right. It's amazing how small things can become big things with people. So what I've been told is that, you know, the sign is on top of the building, Hotel Grimm. It's kind of in a square type of area. So my understanding is the sign will remain there, and it's actually going to be illuminated.
All right.
So there
will
be involved lighting. And so everybody's excited about that.
I tell you what, I am
too. We got a lot more to talk about, though, because we got some road projects going on,
fire
some things happening.
Moving.
That's right. So we want to cover that. Thanks to Four States Furniture, they bring us two old men, a morning show, a dog, and, well, sometimes a morning show. Well, and today, the mayor. Mayor Bob Brueggemann with us.
Let's move on to the road. You got some road projects, particularly one that's going to be an extension of a road that's already there. Talk about that.
Right. The city, over the past couple of years, has allocated a significant amount of funding for street repair. To kind of back up just a second, we had a professional firm that came to the city a few years ago, and they took an inventory of every single street on the Texas side. They traveled each street, they did an evaluation, and so there was a ranking that was done. So the ones that were in the worst disrepair either need to be replaced or resurfaced, something like that, those streets were put on a priority. So you've seen quite a bit of work, you know, around the city, College Drive, for example, North Park Road, other thoroughfares as well. So what we've done recently, meeting before last, the council approved a $7 million bond. So the funding from this bond will be used to extend Gibson Lane, where it currently ends at University Avenue, next to where the Red River Federal Credit Union corporate office is, and branch there.
Back behind the old, Church on the Rock.
Church on the Rock, right. That intersection is now the street along Gibson. And will be extended from there going west to Pleasant Grove Road, which will come out right in front of the apartment complex, which is near the school. That is included in the funding, and then also the relocation of the current Richmond Road fire station, which I think is Station 3.
I'm all for that.
It's
near my house, so every time they go out, whoo!
Until there's smoke rolling out your window.
They won't be that far away, will they?
They'll still be close. They'll still be close.
Where are they moving to?
Hear the sound.
How far are they moving?
Not far, but so city has grown north and west, and so we're trying to make sure that we keep our response times to emergencies to a certain level. And so it's difficult at certain times of the day for the emergency equipment to access Richmond Road, even with blaring lights and siren and that sort of thing. And those Quint fire trucks are very large vehicles, but still, there are some delays there, you know, safety of emergency vehicle pulling out onto the street. So we're looking at relocating that fire station at the corner of University Avenue and McKnight Road. There's currently a church, I think it's Cross Point, on one corner, so it would be kind of across
on the other corner.
To the west
of
that location.
Gotcha.
So
that's not very far away.
No, it's not far away. So they'll have good access along down University or McKnight or Pleasant Grove Road. That's what we'll have in this bonding. We were very fortunate to get a very, very good interest rate. We borrowed $7 million. The interest rate was 2.08%. So that's pretty low interest.
We can't get that, can we?
That's low. That's low. That sounds very good. How much time we got on this break?
We'll give as much time
as
the mayor. He kind of runs things around here.
No, y'all are in charge.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about you and Mayor Brown get along real well and working together, trying to, in that new Ready, trying to get that to get industry in and things like that. Talk a little bit about the relationships there.
Okay. Well, I've known Mayor Brown for many years. We have a lot of things in common. First of all, Alan was a longtime football official.
Yeah.
And then had a home injury and hurt his ankle and then had to back out or retire
from
fishing.
He had to go into broadcasting.
That's
He was a reporter. He worked with me on that.
That's right. So, you know, he refereed or officiated football for many years. I'm a baseball umpire.
That's right. I was going to talk about that before we left.
So I just finished my my 40th year last year umpiring high school and American Legion ball and a little collegiate ball.
Now, let me tell you, I've seen some of the games that umpire Brueggemann calls or whatever, especially behind home plate. And I've told him over and over again, it's kind of like, and it's a lot of times I don't even have a dog in the fight or whatever. It's kind of like, you do a great job of umpiring and kind of leading the contest, okay? You do a good job behind the plate. Just a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. I've had a lot of...
When you do it locally and somebody gets in your face and they're yelling at you, do you put a stop sign in their driveway?
No. Let me tell you a funny story.
Yeah, he's
about,
got a good one.
Hold on.
Okay.
103.9, 98.5, The Pig, and MyPigRadio.com. Have you downloaded our app, Mayor?
I have not yet.
But okay, we'll make sure you do before you get out of here.
Before he leaves the building. But news time, but the news is going to be the mayor, and he is news. Brought to you by our good friends at Texarkana Glass. But go ahead. You were in the middle of telling us a good story, story about umpiring. You've been doing it for 40 years.
40 years.
I didn't know
umpiring.
That.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had a time or two out there.
Well, I have. I don't refer to those people in the stands as fans. I refer to them as consultants.
That's right.
So, anyway, I had a funny story, or I made it a funny story.
It was funny.
I had a district game earlier this year at Texas High. They were playing Greenville, and I was working the plate. Scott Willoughby, I work with the credit union. Scott was working the bases. Scott's been a veteran umpire with our chapter as well. And we had this one guy in the stands, and I found out later didn't even have a son playing on the team. And so he was there and he was chattering to me about he didn't like the way I was calling balls and strikes. And Scott had a couple close calls on the bases and he made comments. And usually these people, their voices carry about 3 miles. You know, they're the loudest people you've ever heard of. So he's up there.
Of course, you pretend like it's so loud you can't hear him.
That's right. So we're trying to ignore it unless it, you know, gets to an abusive type level. And so then we will take action. But anyway, so he was chattering up there. And so we had a play in the field. And when I told the story at an event later, I said this guy was out at the ballpark and he was giving us a pretty hard time, balls and strikes and calls on the bases. But I said at one point during the game, the way I interpreted it is I thought that perhaps he was complimenting us on our musical talent. People kind of looked and I said, well, what happened was my partner had a close call on the bases and he made the call and this guy disagreed with the call and he stood up. And I said he was nice enough to share the compliment with everyone who was there at the ballpark that night. And he stood up after the call was made and he stood up and he said, we have Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder umpiring this game tonight.
I imagine you.
So I thought he was referring to our musical talent.
Yeah. You had no idea what he.
He was happy to be at the show.
That's right.
I am here.
Yeah. Well, no, I had no idea. 40 years you've been doing that. Then
Yeah, I started out working Dixie baseball back in 1979 when I was still in high school and 17 years of age, and then immediately that same year joined up with the local high school chapter in Texas. We're part of the Texas Association of Sports Officials, and so there are chapters that are set up across the state to officiate high school games in the area. So we cover 14 schools in and around the Texarkana area, so our assignments are made to these schools. And then I also enjoy working the playoffs, because oftentimes in the playoffs, we're in the regular season locally, we work a two-man crew. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs, we normally work a four-man crew. The two schools that are playing, each school will provide two umpires to officiate the game. And so what this does, it allows me an opportunity to meet new umpires from across the state, because we work with chapters, you know, as far west as, you know, Dallas and that particular area, and down South Tyler, College Station area, when we have these regional playoff games. And so I get to meet these guys and get to know them better. And then occasionally I'll come across an umpire that I've worked with previously, maybe perhaps in a playoff format. So I enjoy doing that, and playoffs are fun because that time of the year when they're competing to try to get to Austin, right, the state tournament. And I was fortunate enough to work the state tournament in 2010 and 2011. In high school baseball, that's the equivalent of an umpire working the World Series, mm-hmm, in the major leagues.
Right.
And so we had a four-man crew that went down there. It was very memorable, and I had a chance to work at Dale Diamond, mm-hmm, there in Round Rock, as well as Dish Falk Field, where the Texas Longhorns play.
Wow.
Baseball's the best game.
For J.W., yeah, he's a huge fan.
I love it.
So what was your first paying job, Mayor?
My first paying job would probably have been when I was in high school. I worked for Tom and Stan's Auto Parts. It was located at 3rd and Ash Street, across
that,
from the old Berman & Farr,
yeah,
hardware building. They were a Ford Motorcraft parts supplier. I worked there during the summer that year. I delivered parts. So we'd have a local garage that would call needing certain parts, and then they'd put the parts together to take out to them. So I would do that. What was interesting back then was also kind of dangerous. Back then, when batteries were sold, car batteries, for example, the battery was shipped to the store, but we had to actually put the acid in the battery. So we had to take the caps off. Uh-huh. You had to be very, had to pay attention when you did, or your
back
hand
in the,
fingers would fall off.
Yeah,
so.
back in the day.
When we put the batteries together. I can't compete with that other than burning my hand on the popcorn machine at the movie theater that I worked at. It was hot.
And Mayor Bob Brugman, so you were saying that you worked at the Auto Parts.
Tom and Stan
had to put the acid in,
right,
in the battery.
We had to put the acid inside the battery, and then, you know, put the cap back on, and then put it on the shelf or deliver it. You know, we would be certain types of batteries that we really, you know, wouldn't put on the shelf to stock. Maybe there's a certain type of vehicle, mm-hmm, truck or big truck or commercial vehicle.
When was that?
That would have been about 1979 when I worked there.
Mayor Bob graduated the year after I did. We're close in
it. Is that right?
That's right. That's
And you've been here all your life.
Born and raised here, yes.
So have you always wanted to be like mayor?
You started out, you were on the council there for a long time.
Yeah.
Council.
Right. I've always had a passion for the community. I would watch the city council meetings on KLFI, you know, mm-hmm, many, many years ago, and tried to keep up with what was going on in the community. And then how it kind of got started, at the time I was working at Texas A&M University Texarkana, still at the old campus where we shared with Texarkana, mm-hmm,
right,
College. And Dr. Dick Roach, representing Ward 4, and he came by my office one day and said, "Hey, I want to let you know." And his wife Peggy was Dr. Hensley, who was the president of the university. She was Dr. Hensley's administrative assistant. So they both worked there. And he came by one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to be moving to another university in Florida, and so Peggy and I will be moving soon. And I know that you live in the same ward that I do, and I would like for you to consider if you might be interested in serving on the council." And so I thought about it and prayed about it and talked to my wife about it and decided to do it. But it was kind of like a job interview. So what they did is they had a posting for about a 2-week window. Mm-hmm. And so anyone who was interested in serving could apply. And there were three applicants, including myself. Swede Lee, who was the former president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Who did a little bit of everything.
And yeah, coach.
He's a good one. Coach and Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce for many years. And so he had retired from the Chamber, mm-hmm, recently at that time. And he applied. I applied. And then there was a lady who applied. I don't remember her name, but she had a background in law enforcement. not in this area. I think up in New York State or somewhere. So
New York City.
Yeah, that's right.
So not three down here.
That's right. Yeah. So three of us applied. For some reason, she did not make it to the council meeting that evening, and so the council went into closed session, called us in individually, interviewed us. We went back into open session, and they made a motion in a second, and they voted on it. There was no honeymoon. I mean, as soon as they voted, I was sitting in the audience. I went and took my seat.
We need you now.
Right. Yeah. And so, and I never will forget, I'll always remember this about Swede, because I have the utmost respect for,
yes, sir,
for Swede
I
Lee, as everyone else has. And as he was walking out the door after the council had voted, he said to everyone in the room, he said, you've picked a good man. Mm-hmm. And so that really meant, you know, so much to me, and I have so much respect for him. And so that was back in June of 2005.
Well, he called it correctly. You have been doing an awesome job. You and the whole council. The city's just growing. It's thriving.
Right.
I'll tell you, this city has been lucky, or fortunate, I guess is the word to use, over the past 25 or some odd years, because you had Mayor John Jarvis,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Bramlett,
mm-hmm.
and now Mayor Brigham.
Right. And then Mayor Steve Mayo before
Yeah,
me.
He was in there. I forgot about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he served a term.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've had good leadership.
Right.
A good, competent, sensible leadership for a lot of years.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And also, it goes back to the city staff. I mean, we've got a great city staff. Our department heads and their employees and our city manager, Shirley Jaster, just do an incredible job, because we get requests from our citizens. And these are things that we oftentimes, you know, as a council member or as a mayor, we can't physically do. This requires equipment and employee and labor and that sort of thing, and so we turn in those requests to the appropriate staff, and whether it's city, whether it's street department, whether it's the police department or the fire department or public works or health inspector, we turn in those requests and they get worked promptly. And then our citizens are pleased with that. We can't solve every particular issue. You know, there's some things that, whether it involves cost or beyond our control, but we certainly try to manage the city the best we can.
Well, you've been doing an amazing job. Just
Thank
keep
you.
Up the great work.
I appreciate it.
And Mayor, let's just call it the Mayor Bob Brueggemann Show today.
I like it. Well, he's doing a great job.
Yeah, he is.
And, well, I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, because it's informative and humorous, too, when he talks about the jokes.
And we, by the way, we're selling Two Old Men and a Dog brand coffee.
Okay.
All to benefit Mission Texarkana.
Okay.
He always hits up everybody that comes in. And by the way, we're selling.
It's only $20 a pound.
Yeah, right. Okay. A couple of quick things before we wrap it up. One is we've had a restaurant open recently, and we've got another one that's coming up soon. What is it?
Flying Burger.
Flying Burger, mm-hmm. that has
it's
different
open.
Locations. I've eaten at it before at other places.
Right.
It's a very good place to eat.
Yes.
I had their fish on takeout, and it's great.
Yeah.
And then the Walk-On's coming on?
Right. Walk-On should be open right around the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chain of, it's a restaurant chain. Well, some say it's kind of like a sports bar. In a way, it's similar to that, but in a way, it's not. They have a lot of flat-screen televisions throughout the restaurant. This was a company that was founded by two guys who played basketball for LSU, and they didn't play a lot. They were on the varsity, did not play a lot, and so they had gone to play a game, I think, in Tennessee or somewhere, riding back on the bus, and they decided to have this vision of putting in a restaurant, and they actually drew the floor plan of the restaurant on the back of a napkin. And so that was their first vision. And so they went, when we had the groundbreaking, the owner that was there, one of the owners said that they went to six financial institutions or six banks, and they were turned down six times. I think the seventh financial institution said, well, we're willing to take a chance on this. They've been predominantly started out in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I know there's one in New Orleans and I think Alexandria.
Have one over in Tyler, Texas that I've eaten at.
Right. Okay. And there's one in Shreveport that I have not been to yet, but they're going to be coming here toward the end of the year. And so they're going to start off with a soft opening, and then proceeds from that will be given to a local nonprofit organization in the community. So they're a type of organization that really wants to give back to the community and support the community.
Yeah, I noticed there's signs up at high school sporting events and things like that, so that I can tell they're going to be involved.
Right. And so I think they're going to be in a very good location, a lot of visibility on the interstate, pretty easy access. Mm-hmm. to the new restaurant.
Do you look for that area around there and the Church on the Rock moving and that whole area to boom?
I think so. I think we'll continue to see some development there. You know, overall it's been a little bit slow, but we're anticipating some good growth there. You know, to help having the church out there, I think that's going to be a great transformation of that facility. I think that's an ideal location for the church. It allows them more room to grow and to expand, because they're a fast-growing church in our community. I have the utmost respect for Pastor John Miller. He's done a great job leading that congregation. Been doing it now for many years.
Yeah, quite a while. And of course, we talked about baseball season's coming up. When does the umpiring begin? Or what? You got to get ready, don't you?
We got to get ready for all that. But we start meeting the first week of January.
Yeah, that's not too far away.
We have our meetings. We meet at the All-Purpose Building at Texas High. They're nice, very friendly and cordial to allow us to meet there. So we meet there weekly, and then we'll begin scrimmage games around the 1st of February. And then the season will start around mid-February. So it'll be here before you know it.
All right.
Sounds good. He's a baseball fanatic.
Yeah, I'm a nut about baseball.
He even goes to games where he ain't got no kids in there. He'll probably yell something at you.
I could, but you know, him, it'll all be nice things. Hey, you're doing a great job. And he'll be going, he's riding me.
Everybody'll be turning around looking at him if he says that.
Mayor Bob, thanks for coming in this morning and hanging around with us for so long. We know you're a busy man.
We'll let you go.
Didn't mean to take up all.
No, I appreciate it very much. I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Well, good. Keep an open mic invitation there. How's that?
This podcast brought to you by Two Old Men and a Morning Show and sometimes a dog, coffee. Coffee with a purpose. Join us next time for another exciting podcast from Two Old Men, a Morning Show, and sometimes a dog.